Water.
Privatization.
Electricity.
Privatization.
Healthcare.
Privatization.
Education.
Privatization.
What happens when corporations treat those public services as commodities to be bought and sold on the open market? And how are people in Canada and around the world protecting the public sphere and resisting corporate greed?
It's coming by leaps and bounds.
Thousands of people died because this economic model was imposed to war.
It is not sustainable, and we have an opportunity to stop it now.
You're listening to Conning the People, a five-part documentary series about privatization in Canada in an international context.
I'm Asad Ismi.
I'm Kristen Schwartz.
We'll be investigating the effects of privatization globally and locally on healthcare, education, electricity, and water.
For the next half hour, we'll look at healthcare privatization in British Columbia, Alberta, and Ontario. We'll also examine the real costs of privatized medicine in the United States and the successful struggle against healthcare privatization in El Salvador. Canadians consider healthcare to be their number one priority, and the overwhelming majority of them support a well-funded public Medicare system. Yet since 1986, the federal government has starved the public healthcare system of funds, cutting $36 billion from healthcare transfers to provinces. The federal contribution to healthcare has gone from 50% to 14%, and provinces have reacted by drastically reducing their health spending, closing hospitals, laying off nurses, curtailing services, and opening the door to privatization. 30% of hospital beds have disappeared, and the private side of the medical system is rising by 20% a year. Private for-profit clinics have been set up in Alberta, British Columbia, and Ontario, and public-private partnerships with corporations, or P3s, have been created to build hospitals. This trend threatens to lead Canada towards a two-tier privatized healthcare system, as in the United States, where millions of people lack health insurance. The Romano Commission, appointed by the federal government in 2002 to recommend changes to the healthcare system, rejected privatization and called for $15 billion in new spending to strengthen and expand public healthcare. Kathleen Connors is president of the Canadian Federation of Nurses Unions.
The incidents of privatization here and now are most evident in the province of British Columbia, in Alberta, and in Ontario. Well, British Columbia, with the election of the Campbell government, there was nowhere in the Liberal Party platform during the election that they talked about their intent to severely privatize the system. But immediately upon election, there have been huge steps taken by the Campbell government. So we have seen closure of long-term care facilities. We've seen the call for a public-private partnership, construction of a new hospital in Abbotsford. We have seen huge contracting out of support staff services in the hospital sector. Anything that is not directly related to inpatient services has been deemed open to privatization in the healthcare sector in British Columbia. So that means that even the emergency departments could be privatized. It's a very deep concern, just what is being allowed to happen in the province. There have been hospital closures, unit closures, those sorts of things. And in a time of a nursing shortage, there's actually been layoff of nurses.
The BC government is building new hospitals through public-private partnerships.
There's long been a need for a new hospital in Abbotsford, and the government decided that they would finance the building of the hospital through a public-private partnership, where a private company will build the hospital, and then the government will pay to lease it back instead of just laying out the money to build the structure. If it's needed, it should be built with public dollars, and if we need to borrow, we should be borrowing from banks at a rate, not paying extra money to private companies. And I guess the issue for nurses in all of this is that we need to have clear evidence that this kind of move to public-private partnerships in construction of new facilities, that any kind of provision of diagnostic equipment, that it's more cost-effective, it provides better quality and better outcomes. Give us the evidence that it's better there. That, and to date, there has been absolutely no evidence. Commissioner Romano called for evidence throughout his 18 months of hearings and consultation, and there wasn't any. So we only need to look south of the border. There's no evidence there. So why? Why are we embarking on this venue? We're not doing it based on evidence. We're not doing it based on better outcomes for the people who need the services. It's not going to make their quality or their level of health better. Why are we doing it to put profit in the pockets of shareholders? It's pure ideology. It's pure determination to create profit for business buddies of governments.
Public-private partnerships have not worked in Canada or England.
We need to look at where these kind of P3 models have been used and the experience with them. In PEI, they were going to build a new hospital in Summerside, and they were going to do it by a P3 model. And I give the Prince Edward Island government full credit for recognizing that it was going to end up costing them more to do to build this hospital through a P3 way as compared to if the government borrowed the money and paid it back. So there's that situation. Clear evidence in our own country. But then there is also wonderful evidence provided by bad experiences in the United Kingdom where there have been these kinds of initiatives taken, and where Dr. Alison Pollock provided expert testimony to Commissioner Romano that, in fact, services in these kinds of facilities actually were reduced, where beds were cut, the number of care providers were diminished, and where the leaseback costs were higher than if the borrowing had simply occurred, mean that the outcomes of the patients in that building with less beds and less care providers going to be better.
The Romano Commission not only rejected privatization, but also called for an expansion of Medicare.
Canadians reiterated their belief in our healthcare system. They said, we don't want to throw this out. We need to improve it for the future. And the threats that emerged in Mr. Romano's recommendations talk about how you fix the foundation of the established Medicare program, calling for inclusion of aspects of home care and pharmacare in the Canada Health Act, the inclusion of a sixth principle in the Canada Health Act, that principle being one of accountability, is absolutely key. That's what Canadians want. If there's money going from the federal government to the provinces, how that money is being spent should be accountable. It should be transparent. As a nurse who's worked in the system for 30 years, his recommendations around something called primary health care were very significant.
Many see Canada's public health care system as a reflection of basic Canadian values.
I think just a restatement of what Justice Emmett Hall said many, many years ago and in his last report, that Canadians, through the creation of its healthcare system, had made a commitment to each other that we would pay our taxes in times of wellness so that there would be healthcare dollars available that we could look after each other in times of illness. And it's the issue of caring for and about each other as individual Canadians through this collective responsibility. It's issues of solidarity, of equality, of care, of compassion, about being more than an individual.
Healthcare privatization in Canada is being pushed by corporations.
Corporations internationally see Canada's healthcare sector as an unopened oyster for economic and private profit generation. I think that that's where the agenda is being driven. they very much would like access to our market. Well, they have the opportunity under NAFTA, and they're working to have it under the WTO to have access to compensation if they're denied economic opportunities in healthcare.
The Canadian province with the highest level of privatization in the health sector is Alberta. Christine Burdett is provincial chair of Friends of Medicare in Alberta.
Privatization of Medicare in Alberta has gone a long way. What we have in Alberta is a lot of contracting out. Our provincial government has regional health authorities, which are then able to make contracts with private providers. So while we still have a single payer system, our Medicare is still funded through tax dollars. A lot of it is being siphoned into for-profit companies. Inevitably, we think this is going to get worse, indicated by the fact that the government passed legislation enabling these so-called non-hospital surgical facilities to do procedures which require overnight and longer stays. So far, we have one such facility in Calgary which does joint replacement surgery under contract to Workers' Compensation Board. We think it's a hospital. The government insists it isn't. It does everything that a hospital can do except for a limited number of procedures, and it doesn't have an emergency room. It's called the Health Resources Centre, HRC. We have, I think it's about 8 or 9 private MRI clinics in the province. Plus, we have a whole host of surgical centers, clinics, that do day surgery under contract to regional health authorities.
The demolishing of Calgary General Hospital in 1995 was symbolic of the destruction of Medicare in all of Canada.
It was very symbolic, I think, of what was happening at that time to Medicare. And also very symbolic that it's happening in Calgary, because while Alberta may be the center of privatization as far as provinces go, within Alberta, Calgary has gone far further in privatization and for-profit healthcare than anywhere else in the province. You cannot have cataract surgery in a public facility in Calgary. It is all contracted out. The HRC clinic that I was talking about, the one that is to all intents and purposes a private hospital, is in Calgary. It's located in what used to be the Grace Hospital, which was operated by the Salvation Army as a non-profit hospital within the healthcare system. They also closed down the Holy Cross Hospital in Calgary and sold off the facility to a group which now uses it for surgical procedures, which they do under contract to the regional health authority. And not only did they sell it, but they sold it to these people for lower than the evaluation. It's generally considered that the price that was paid for the entire facility would probably have covered the real value of the parking lot only. Fire sale prices, yes. We virtually gave away the building. The only place, even now in the province, that we're talking about a lack of facilities is Calgary. And the reason they have a shortage is because they blew one hospital up, they sold one at fire sale prices, and they caused the Salvation Army to sell another. So that's three facilities that they closed down completely. And now they're talking about the fact that they don't have enough beds. Anyone who looks at what's happening in Alberta knows that what the provincial government is doing in healthcare makes no sense. It just doesn't stop them from doing it.
Healthcare privatization in Alberta is being driven by U.S. corporations.
The influence that is coming into Alberta and into Canada is coming from the United States. That's where we have big healthcare businesses sitting on the border, looking at the money that we spend on our public healthcare system, I'm wishing they could get their hands on it.
Under the Harrison-Eves conservative governments, Ontario saw an $800 million cut in healthcare spending and major steps towards healthcare privatization with approval for the building of two public-private hospitals in Brampton and Ottawa, as well as eight private clinics. The new Liberal government of Dalton McGuinty is allowing the P3 hospitals to be built and has not stopped the establishment of private clinics. Barbara Wall is president of the Ontario Nurses Association.
I think that the government in Ontario has created a really unstable environment. Give healthcare not enough money, not enough money to the hospitals, so they're scrambling all the time, not enough money to home care, not enough money to the nursing homes. I think the government is absolutely leading us to a two-tier system, and we're very concerned about two-tier healthcare. They talk in terms of slowly creeping privatization. I don't think it's slowly. I don't think it's creeping. It's coming by leaps and bounds. I don't think there's any place for this accelerated privatization. In Canada, in Ontario, we're seeing it happen rapidly. And as nurses, we're very concerned about it. We put out a questionnaire, detailed questionnaire, to our 46,000 members, and they identified concerns around privatization as their number one concern. I think that's very important for the people of Canada to know that a huge group of nurses say we're concerned about privatization because we see increasingly the tragic effects of privatization. And I would like to speak specifically about home care. We had a home care program that evolved over time based on increasing need of patients in communities. Hospitals discharged patients sooner, and home care took on an increasingly large portion of their care in the home. As nurses, we supported that, and we do still support that. It's a good idea. You recover best in the surroundings of your own home, provided that you have the care and the support that you need. What we saw was as hospitals were pushing people out because they were under budget constraints, the home care budgets were not increasing. And what we saw happening was families having to do without care, getting on waiting lists, etc. And we saw people starting to be put in the position of having to augment their own care, you know, pay for homemaking, pay for nurses to come in extra, that kind of thing. And so we had an environment where there was a lot of frustration and people were feeling they weren't getting enough care. Also, the people being discharged from hospital were far sicker than previously, so that they actually had much greater care needs, and yet we saw that the budget for home care was not keeping up with the need. At the same time, mid-90s, the government introduced a competitive bidding process in the provision of nursing care in the community. So we had the government saying, okay, it's open market here. Private companies can compete with the Victorian Order of Nurses, St. Elizabeth, for the contracts of the Community Care Access Centres, the new name for what was home care before. So these companies would put forward a bid and say, we can provide it for X. Initially, they underbid the VON and St. Elizabeth, picked up the contracts. What happened, of course, was they tried to provide that care for less money, and the care suffered. It suffered for two reasons. The nurses who were employed on a part-time basis. There was a lack of continuity of care. Nurses were not attracted to those sectors, and many nurses left the home care sector overall, returned to hospitals, and even more tragic than that, left nursing altogether.
A private cancer clinic set up at Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto has produced similar results.
We see in Ontario the private cancer care clinic established at Sunnybrook. The radiation therapists who are working there are finding that they are working extra hours. They're paid more than the radiation therapists in other places. The waiting lists have not been reduced. Care is not better, but there is a profit going into someone's pocket. We see that that profit shows up as well in home care, of course, where the private companies that are competing are making a profit.
Some of the private companies moving into healthcare in Canada are highly disreputable.
You have to wonder about the private companies. We see that there's a private company that was basically denounced in the United States was called Alston Healthcare, and even Bill Clinton publicly denounced them. They went to Winnipeg, where they set up shop to provide home care and were run out of that province. They've now reappeared in Ontario as Bayshore Healthcare, and there are nurses working for that company. Each time a visit is made to patients, there's a profit goes into someone's pocket. Same thing with the profit at the private cancer care clinic, and similarly with other areas where there's increasing privatization. So when the private sector gets involved in the provision of health care, the making of the profit becomes the first concern, and then the second concern, or maybe down the line a little bit, the next concern far down becomes patient care.
Healthcare privatization in Canada is leading to the creation of a private, for-profit, U.S.-style health system. In the United States, 43 million Americans have no health insurance, and 100 million have inadequate coverage. About 100,000 Americans die each year because they cannot afford necessary medical treatment, and about 500,000 Americans declare personal bankruptcy each year because of medical expenses. Americans spend roughly 40% more per capita on health care than do Canadians. The money in U.S. health care goes to huge corporations that make massive profits while covering an increasingly smaller number of people. These same corporations want to take over the Canadian health care system.
Do we want to be put in a position where, if we're struck by chronic illness or a catastrophic situation, do we want to be put in a position of not being able to get the best care? We don't have to look very far to see what goes wrong. South of the border, you have a child that's born with a health care need or a disability or a major illness, whatever. You're struck off your insurance plan, and you and your family are on your own. The other thing we're starting to see south of the border is these big insurance companies that promised everything, that charge high premiums, suddenly fold. If you're hooked up with one of those insurance companies, if you've ever been sick, no one else will take you, and you're now in this huge group of Americans who are, they're middle-class people, but they cannot get health insurance. If they would ever become sick, it would be catastrophic, and they would lose their homes. I can report from this perspective of the nurses who are part of our organization who have worked in the United States, and they talk in terms of people coming in for care into hospitals. Let's just talk about hospitals. And first of all, having to demonstrate that they in fact have coverage, or they're shuffled off to another place. If you don't have coverage, you don't get the care. The next thing that happens is the nurses are involved in tracking every little piece of equipment, every little supply that's used. For example, they report to me that those little tubes of toothpaste, you know those sample tubes, $6.95 on the invoice for your hospital stay. You're charged for Kleenex. I don't know if you're charged for toilet paper, but it's absolutely outrageous. And so nurses find that they're using their time to deny people care, to charge people an exorbitant rate for things that are essential to care. And, you know, then there's the whole thing about who's even allowed to be part of an insurance company. So, you know, you've got, and I don't know, the ABC Insurance Company of New York City, and they only want to have well people in their insurance company. They don't want to have anyone making any claims. And when people do make claims, we have lots of reports of people being told that their claims are denied, even though they seem perfectly reasonable. We hear stories of claims being lost, claims being postponed, tragically sometimes postponed till the person is dead.
So I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves.
A recent study shows how the profit motive creates death. The research was carried out by 17 medical professionals, including Dr. Ted Haynes at McMaster University. They looked at every study done comparing for-profit and not-for-profit care in the United States. The results showed that private for-profit hospitals in the U.S. compared to private not-for-profit hospitals had a 2% higher mortality. In Canada, this would translate into 2,000 unnecessary deaths annually. Why does this happen? Why is there higher mortality in people who go to for-profit hospitals? Because for-profit hospitals cut levels of skilled staff in order to take profit out.
There are examples around the world of mass citizens' movements that are winning the fight against healthcare privatization. The most recent one is in El Salvador, where doctors and healthcare workers refused to allow hospitals to be privatized. They organized a general strike, which shut down hospitals and won a clear and total victory. The government was forced to draft legislation for a completely publicly funded, publicly delivered healthcare system. Nelson Garcia is a deputy in El Salvador's National Assembly from the FMLN party. He spoke in Toronto.
En ese marco de la política
the neoliberal policies of the Arena government have culminated in some recent events in which the government was attempting to privatize all of the healthcare system in the country.
Este proceso de privatización o la intención de privatizar la salud.
The process of privatization or the extension of privatization to the health sector met with serious opposition on the part of people. People are turning against privatization because they're seeing that as services become privatized, it just makes people poorer.
Esto produjo en los últimos meses la creación.
This process has produced in recent months the creation of a whole group of resistance led by the Social Security Workers Union, the Doctors Union, and the College of Physicians. Mm-hmm. So together they formed a bloc against the privatization of the health system.
Los cuales, a partir de informar a la población sobre la pretensión.
By, first of all, informing the public of the government's intention to turn health into a commodity like anything else that's bought and sold, they've managed to generate a very large reaction among the people, which led to major rallies of citizens against this plan to privatize health care.
De esta manera, a partir del mes de octubre, se convoca a una huelga.
In October, the people leading the fight against privatization called for a strike of the entire public health sector, which resulted in the paralysis of 70% of the healthcare system, and this provoked a reaction from the Arena government and from the legislature.
A pesar de que el gobierno había mandado a la Asamblea Legislativa dos proyectos de ley.
The government had sent two bills to the legislature allowing for the privatization of health care, but because of the public protest and the large number of people out in the streets, the assembly did not pass either of these bills.
Al contrario, conjuntamente con el movimiento sindical, el FMLN.
In fact, not only did they not pass those two bills, but they were presented with a decree put together by the union movement and the FMLN members of the government, which required the government to guarantee that it would not move ahead with privatization, and this guarantee was approved by the legislature. Yes.
You've been listening to Conning the People, Privatization in Canada.
This series was written and researched by Asit Ismi.
Produced by Kristen Schwartz.
And executive producer Asit Ismi.
Narrated by Kristen Schwartz and Asit Ismi.
Funded by the Canadian Labour Congress, Canadian Union of Public Employees, Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Communications, Energy and Paper Workers, Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, and the Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association.
Thanks also to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Christiana Clements for technical assistance,
and Wing Hong Si for sounds. Music credits for this segment, Money by Pink Floyd and Be Healthy by Dead Prez.
For copies of this program, call 416-595-5068 or email news@ckln.fm.
Thank you for listening.